Yeah, we started talking about this. Why don't you? Because you've been a news person for a long time.
It's funny you say that because I've covered a lot of police-involved shootings in my career, and it's always more difficult to get data and information, and certainly video, when it is an officer-involved shooting. And the reason given in the past has always been, it's under investigation, right. we can't do that. But today is something happened that many are calling unprecedented. A major release of police department videos, police reports, about officer-involved shootings and also officer-involved use of force. And so we've got Ryan Burrow here. He's been pouring through the documents and the videos, and there's a lot of them there. We also have Sergeant Pete here, formerly worked in internal affairs, 38 years a police officer, also worked in high-crime areas himself, very familiar with all of this. Ryan, I guess the question to you is, I don't know how much of it you've gotten through. There's so much data that you've been given, but what are you seeing?
Yeah, this is the Laquan McDonald effect, right? I mean, mm-hmm. this is the result of that police video that we saw, and so many people came out and said, why did it take a year for this video to be released? Why did it take a year for this officer to be charged? Prosecutor, mm-hmm. Cook County State's Attorney Anita Alvarez said, well, it took us time to kind of sift through it to make sure that we had crossed all of our T's and dotted all of our I's.
But also, why did the video not exactly concur with the facts we were given, the official
sure.
report of what happened at the scene?
Yeah.
Which is where we got us here, too.
Exactly. So what happened is IPRA has been compiling all of these videos, all of these audio reports, all of the police reports that go along with police-involved incidents that they're investigating, whether it be shooting, use of taser, maybe a suspect injured while in custody for one reason or another, and compiled all this information for the public to go and view. And they dumped, as you mentioned, 101 cases today on this website, IPRAChicago.org. You can sift through it if you want to. We've been poring over it. I'm sure newsrooms all over not only Chicago, but the country have been poring over it. In fact, IPRA pointed us to at least six of these cases with some pretty strong or graphic video. And
you said it was very violent. I mean, these are moments of people literally dying on the streets in some cases.
I would say probably 80% of the videos are, you know, cell phone video or security video that really have not much to do with the actual situation, but some of them are very compelling. And it's not necessarily all dash cam video or body camera. In fact, I didn't really see too many body cameras as they're still trying to get that system
right,
going.
Those weren't rolled out. I mean, some of these go back to 2011, so you're not going to get the body cameras. But if people think they're going to go to this website and just see highlights, you've got to sit through, in some cases, 2 hours of audio
sure.
for some of these and 15, 20, 40 minutes of video.
But I think what's going to happen here, though, are the parts that become the most controversial are going to be captured and put out on social media in 2 and 3 second or 10 second bits. And that's what's going to be difficult. I want to bring Sergeant Pete into this, because do you think that's fair to release this many videos all at once? Is it going to give an unfair impression that violence is everywhere and police are taking shots at people all the time?
Well, my opinion, first of all, is IPRA is trying to flood the market. They're trying to protect their jobs, which is what they're trying to phase out. And you have videos that they've, Mr. Noonan put it very, very correctly. I looked at a bunch. I had a friend of mine, a former lieutenant, look at some. And there's 2 hours and 20 minutes of absolutely nothing. There's some, the street cameras, that it's so pixelated you can't see anything. And a couple of the ones that he referred to, mm-hmm. I looked at. But without the whole entirety or the entire story, or if you don't read the police report,
context.
The Portillo's case, the one where the African-American man was tasered in front of the bus stop.
Ishmael Jameson is
right.
his name, yeah.
If you just look at those, you know, it looks bad, but you don't know. There's things out of frame. There's things in frame. You don't know what this guy did. You don't know what they say. I understand that the union really objected to this, and
well,
I can understand
isn't it
why.
Because some of the officers featured in these have been cleared of any wrongdoing, and yet the videos are still coming out there. And so, as Anna said, if you pull 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and you put that on the web, this officer who's been cleared of any wrongdoing is now implicated just because he's in this information dump.
Facing a lot of high degree of scrutiny for their
absolutely.
Actions.
Absolutely.
And that's what IPRA's chief said, is you have to understand that what you're looking at in this video may not be necessarily what we're investigating. So keep right. that in mind while you go through this. In the meantime, they
Well, that's easy for them to say
exactly.
to, you know, people in authority. It's harder to say to the general public
sure.
who are just looking for different ways.
Especially, now, as you mentioned, it's going to end up on Twitter. It's going to be on Facebook, especially these cases that we're talking about, probably on there right now. You're going to see them for the rest of the weekend.
In that Portillo's case, what did it show? Because a lot of people are talking about that. That's the one we're probably going to see on the newscast tonight, I would think. What did it show, Ryan?
Yeah, we were just watching that one, actually. It starts at the Portillo's right here downtown. According to police reports, a gentleman who was in there was asked to leave. It was time to wrap up. They were closing down, refused to do so. The security guard that was on duty was an off-duty police officer, told him to get out. They got into a skirmish. According to the police report, the gentleman threw a cup of cheese at the officer who tried to take out his handcuffs, and then they got into it, and there were blows. There were some serious blows in there before he was taken off.
We've actually got some of the audio of that. Why don't we run that now, Brian?
I always overdo it and wonder why they always get up. You probably don't know who you talking to.
So that, you know, obviously you can't see, all you hear is the commotion, but those are the kind of things. You really have to hunt for the actual incidents on these tapes.
And that was shot from cell phone video by someone inside. So that wasn't body cam, that wasn't dash cam or anything like that. That was a witness to the scene. And a lot of the videos that we've got are people who, maybe there was a shooting going on outside of their apartment and they're up on the fourth floor. Some of them are actually giving commentary, you know, while this is going on. Yeah. So, you know, it's just different angles. And, you know, obviously this is the kind of thing that prosecutors pour over, defense teams pour over, when they're setting up the trial and getting ready, but a lot of different angles and different points of view, that's for sure.
Sergeant Pete, you've investigated police officers, and when you see this type of video, do you think that, was there a wrongdoing in that case, do you think? Is there anything wrong with that?
Well, from what I saw, the man threw something at the police officer after he told him he identified himself as a police officer, told the man he was under arrest, and this was a large guy, and the guy physically attacked the officer. The officer defended himself, and then at the end of the video, the guy's running out the door, and that's all you see. Right. And what's important here is these investigations should have been done in a more timely manner, and that was the problem with IPRA. OPS, when Ms. Lightfoot was in charge, their investigations were done correctly, properly, and within time. The latest group, this IPRA group, their investigations took months and months and months and months on things that shouldn't have taken that long. And a policeman shouldn't be left hanging by a thread or assigned to the radio room or to call back on an allegation or an accusation that has no basis of merit. Yet he's in a prisoner of war for a year or two because some investigator who doesn't know how to investigate decides that he's just going to wait and do whatever he wants to do and delay the actual investigation.
We got to check traffic, so let's take a break. But after that, I want to ask you if you think that we've heard so much about the police stops dramatically decreasing with all of the new rules, and then I know they redid those contact cards and they did them again.
ISR reports,
and that change the number of stops on our streets. I wonder if this is going to have some kind of a chilling effect. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's check traffic now with Violetta Podramatic. This week, Brittany and Elliot are pitting thin versus thin and deep versus deep. Tune in for an epic pizza battle. Chicago's best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Brian Noonan in for Ro. Anna is here where she usually is. Ryan Burrow and Sergeant Pete are joining us in studio. We're talking about the IPRA release. Over 100 cases. We've got video, we've got audio, we've got documentation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody is questioning the need for transparency, Pete. Do you think now that we've done this initial dump and everybody's going to be overwhelmed by this, that now, you know, they're saying everything's got to be out within 60 days, it'll get easier for us to see? Will the FOP be a little happier with that than they are with this? Or do you think it's still, like you said at the beginning,
I believe that the FOP is going to have a problem with it. And I can understand that they're a union to protect the officers. And sometimes the officers need that protection, need that buffer from having their names thrown out here for anything, any way, shape, or form. It's It's always an adversarial relationship between IPRA and the police department, OPS and the police department, because policemen feel that a qualified investigator is the person that should be looking into what you did. Mm-hmm. Somebody that knows how to look at forensics, somebody that knows how to look at physical evidence, and most importantly, somebody that knows how to interrogate and interview. And people that just come out there and say, well, give me your reports, like IPRA would do or something. You need somebody to actually go and talk to these people. And if you don't do that, the biggest problem with the new superintendent, Eddie Johnson, great man, great guy, but he's not going to do anything. You have to get the community. You have to somehow break that wall of silence where somebody from the community says, I saw Johnny Jones with the gun, and I saw him go down the street, and I heard shots.
Because right now there are two codes of silence, you could say. The police department's been criticized for its own, but on the streets, people don't speak up, in many cases, because they're afraid for themselves and their families.
Oh, absolutely. You go to this CAPS program that everybody talks so much about. If you go to a CAPS meeting, and you sit there in Inglewood, and the policemen are saying this, 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 and the community's saying this, this, and this, there's nobody in that meeting that's going to say, well, I know that little Billy Brown, who lives two doors away, is slinging dope out of his house because little Billy Brown's got somebody in that CAPS meeting, and they're going to say, so-and-so said something, and that guy's windows are going to get shot out. So CAPS, it has never worked in any major city, and I don't see how Ron believes it's going to work here.
Ryan, what's IPRA hoping to accomplish with this? Other than, you know, hey, we're being transparent now, everything's coming out. What is this going to change? I mean, the public now has access to all this information. What's going to happen?
I think it satisfies the mayor. I think this is part of the process of him trying to open things up a little bit. Remember, this investigation is still going on from the Department of Justice, right, as far mm-hmm. as the policing policies. So, you know, he's hoping that these kind of plans and these kind of situations and programs, you know, help when this big report comes out. It could take a year of the changes that need to be made. We already know some of the problems they've found. And, you know, he came out. The superintendent came out saying this will show everyone the challenges we face every single day. But as you mentioned, the FOP, I mean, they were not a part of this process. In fact, they had a pretty stern release saying the lodge has absolutely no input in this process. It's sad when, with all the talk about transparency and communication, they decide to operate in this manner. Apparently, just before this release at 11 o'clock, they met with the union at 9 o'clock, and they said to say this meeting turned contentious would be an understatement. So to be a fly on that wall, huh?
Yeah, you wonder what happened.
I wonder if the video of that will ever surface.
All right, guys. Ryan, thank you. Good work. And Sergeant Pete, thanks for joining us. As always, regular contributor on all issues of crime for The Rokon Show with Ana Devlantis. Appreciate it.
Good weekend. Thank you.